All right, we're going to be in Daniel chapter number 9. Now, I know we was there last week, last Wednesday night, but I wanted just to go over just a few more things in Daniel chapter 9. I want you to go to Daniel 9 and look about verse number 24. Some of this is going to be repetitive, but this is something I've learned a long time ago. Repetition is the key to learning. The more you hear it over and over, it'll get into your long-term memory. Here's something in the Bible. There is milk, and then there's meat, and then there's strong meat. So sometimes on Sunday mornings, a lot of times when we're preaching, a lot of times that's milk because you've got mostly you got your visitors that are here and those that may need to be saved, things of that nature. So you pretty well keep it pretty simple on Sunday morning. But on Wednesday night, we try to give some meat. And then stuff like this, Daniel's 70th week, sometimes that's strong meat to some. So I want you to look at Daniel 9 again. Some of it may be repetitive. And we'll go and we'll look here. Look at verse number 24, the end of Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, 70 weeks are determined. This is what we determined last Wednesday night. A week, we know in our mind, here in the American culture, when you say a week, we automatically think 7 days. But now in the Bible, that can be a little different. Even the word day can mean a longer period of time. Matter of fact, over in 2 Peter, remember he says, a day was the Lord with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So one day could be 1,000 years with the Lord. So we understand that, these weeks could be something totally different. If it was 7 days, 70 weeks, so you would take 70 times 7, and it would give you 490 days. Well, later on in the passage, we'll look at this, and it says, after 7 weeks and 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. Well, after 490 days, Jesus hadn't been born yet. So it can't be 490 days. So you might say, well, what about a day with the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years? So 490,000 years. Well, we know it's not that. So we looked at, let me see what the verse was. I think it was over in Numbers. One of the verses that we looked at, Numbers 14:34, after the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. That's when they sent in the spies. Moses sent in the spies. 10 come back, said, we can't go in. Caleb, Joshua said, hey, we're going to go in and conquer the land. They wandered around in that thing for 40 days. Well, God made them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, one year per day. So, if you even go by that definition, a week would be 1 year for a day, so it's 7 years. So it'd be 490 years. 70 weeks times 7 would be 490 years. Now, here's a few things I want to show you just real quickly before we get into trying to take it statement by statement. Because this right here is the key to prophecy. This right here, if we get this right here, it'll be the key to unlocking a lot of stuff in the book of Revelation. I'll show you what I mean. In Daniel, do you notice when he gives, look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from, okay, now we got a starting point, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto, so here's your other point, from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah. Messiah should be capitalized in your Bible. The Prince. Prince should be capitalized in your Bible. Because, let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall be 7 weeks, comma, and 62 weeks. A score in the Bible is 20. So 60. So that's 62. So it divides it. The first section is 7 weeks. The next section is 62. That's 62 weeks. Now, you say, well, why is it? Why did it divide it that way? Okay, watch this. Here we go. 7 weeks. All right, if we take it and use our years here, so it would be 7 times 7 equals 49 years. Okay? That's 49. That's 7th week, 49 years. That's how long it took to build Jerusalem and the temple there in Jerusalem. From the going forth, the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah. So you got 49 years first, 62. So you take 62 times 7. Is somebody help me? 434. Is that right? Years. 49 years. Okay. There's your sections. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks, after here, what does it say? Shall Messiah should be capitalized. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be cut off. There's the cross. He was cut off. But not for himself. Well, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us, you see. Now, I pointed this out. You see this bottom chart right down here? This bottom chart is how Daniel saw it. Daniel saw 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and that 1 week saw it all together. Guess who Daniel didn't see? Daniel didn't see us. He didn't see that part. But God, when he inspired Daniel to write this, notice how he divides that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He divides it in sections. Little did Daniel know that we would be inserted. But the way Daniel saw it, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who's that? Jews. Not us, Jews. And upon thy holy city. What's that? Jerusalem. But upon thy holy city. 7 weeks it took to rebuild that. Now, you're going to find that in Nehemiah chapter number 2. I don't think I put that up there, but Nehemiah chapter number 2 will give you the commandment from King Artaxerxes. If you want to know how to spell that, I can't spell it, but it's found in Nehemiah chapter number 2. And the decree went out at 450 B.C. That means 450 years before Christ. The decree went out. Jesus, y'all see this star? That's where time starts again. So anything before this is before Christ, obviously. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 450. After Christ is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 33 A.D. after birth is... He died in 33. He was cut off, 33. 450, that's 450. Plus 33 is what? What? 49 and 434 is what? 483. Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem on the exact day to be cut off according to Daniel's prophecy. He wrote into the Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth. It was on time. He was born on time. He rode in Jerusalem on time. He died on time. He got up on time. And he's coming back on time. Just like that. Now, let me ask you this. The 7 weeks and the 62 weeks are determined upon who? Jews, Jerusalem. Who's that week right there? 70, you got 7 and 62. That's 69 weeks. And this makes 70. That's why they call it Daniel's 70th week. 70 weeks are determined upon who? And upon the holy city. So that means that week right there is for who? Not you. You worried about going through the tribulation? You ain't going. That ain't for you. Now let me show you something. Daniel saw it this way. He didn't see this. Now, you have to remember, Jews. Jesus comes on the scene. I'm your Messiah. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. Well, Jesus starts healing folks to prove he's the Messiah. He raises Lazarus from the dead to prove he's the Messiah. He's the King to come and restore and rebuild the kingdom. He does all of these wonderful works to prove that he is who he says he is. He comes to his own receives him not. Matter of fact, they crucify Jesus on the cross. Y'all remember that? They crucify. They said, we have no king but Caesar. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Jesus prays a very important prayer on the cross. Remember this one. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God in heaven answers that prayer and gives them another opportunity. We have, after this, you have the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 2. There was a fellow by the name of Peter, preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter says in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 38, many of you have heard Acts 2:38 till you're probably blue in the face. And it says, repent. Who was Peter talking to? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, be baptized, every one of you. Repent, be baptized. Baptized like what? Baptized like John was baptizing. For the remission of sins, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, so on and so forth. Jewish. All right? In Acts chapter number 7, there was a fellow by the name of Stephen. Stephen was preaching. And over there in Acts chapter number, well, I'll just tell you what it says. Acts chapter number 7. The end, about verse 50 or so. Stephen is preaching along there, and this is what Stephen is preaching. Stephen is preaching to a bunch of Jews. He says, you stiff-necked, hard at heart, you don't know what you did. And we as a nation need to repent of what we did. We crucified the very Son of God. He arose from the dead, and he is our Messiah. About verse 54, 55. When the Jews heard that, they were pricked in their hearts. That means they got under convictions. And instead of getting right, they came and started gnawing on Stephen with their teeth. Boy, what an invitation that was. Can you imagine giving an invitation and the people didn't like the sermon and they didn't come to the altar to get right. They come up behind the pulpit and started chewing on the preacher. Whew. I don't think, I'm not a great theologian, but I don't think they received what Stephen had to say. Now, remember what, I'm going somewhere. Remember when Jesus prayed on the cross? Father, forgive them. Because why? That week was supposed to start. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Give them another chance. God says, all right, I'll give them another chance. Matter of fact, I'll give them two chances. I'll give them a chance in Acts chapter number 2 under Peter. I'll give them another one. Why do you say, why? Jesus only asked for one. Why did he give them two? Because God's long-suffering to usward, not willing to issue prayer. So in Acts chapter number 7, when Stephen preached, give them another opportunity, they rejected, and this is what happened. We go up to the top line. This is moved out. Do y'all see that? This right here is moved out to over here, and guess what is inserted? Boy, this is a one. Listen, I'm fixing to show you something that's fixing to get us shouting on a Wednesday night. Look at Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. Acts 28. You're going to love this. Acts 28. I don't have it on the screen for you. I apologize for that part because this one is a little longer than just a couple of verses. Paul is talking. While you're going to Acts 28, let me hurriedly and say this. Sometimes I get in a hurry and I forget stuff. While you're going to Acts 28, remember I told you? Acts 2, Peter preached to a bunch of Jews. Acts 7, Stephen preached to a bunch of Jews. Guess what? They rejected right there. Matter of fact, the Jews rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. Rejected God the Son right there. And here in Acts 7, rejected God the Holy Spirit. Y'all see that? 1, 2, 3. Rejects in 7. You're not going to believe this in a million years. After Israel, Jews, rejected, I'm just going to prove what I'm talking about. You won't believe who got saved in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, an Ethiopian eunuch got saved. You know who that was? A Gentile. Isn't that odd? Well, guess who got saved in chapter 9? The fellow by the name of the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans through Philemon to the church, Gentiles. Well, you won't believe in a million years who got saved in chapter 10. Cornelius, you know what he was? He was a Gentile and his whole house. Do you see how 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Acts? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, very Jewish. You start 8, 9, 10. It goes Gentile. Oh, let me just fast forward right here. 16, Acts 16, the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer. You know who he was? Gentile. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it goes for your whole house too. Hallelujah. Gentile, Gentile. You see that? So, boom, we get inserted in. God says, I tell you what, we're going to move this week on out here. Time out. Jews, y'all go sit down. You didn't accept what Stephen said. I listened to my son. He said, give y'all another chance. I gave you two. You wouldn't listen. Go sit down. I got somebody, and I'm fixing to show you why this is the case. You ever wondered why God just, he's not through with Israel. They're coming back. But right now, he's got timeout on the ball game. Jews, y'all go sit down. Your first string, I'm fixing to bring in somebody else to play. It's called the church. Acts 28, watch this. Acts 28, Paul says, verse 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Jews, you can't hear, you can't see. Open your eyes. Verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their ears, they hear with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 28, are y'all ready for this one? Ready? Stay in your seat, because you're going to want to shout. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the... I almost got excited on a Wednesday night. Do you see how we got inserted? Paul says, the Jews, they're blind. They didn't see. They can't see. The salvation of God. Be it known. I'm making a declaration. Be it known. The salvation of God is unto the Gentiles. And guess what the rest of the verse says? And they will hear it. Isn't that good? Now let me show you. You're in Acts 28. Go right and go to Romans 11. Matter of fact, I think I might have Romans 11 on. I might have. All right, go to Romans 11. You say, why did he do that? Why did the Lord do that? Why did he push them Jews out? He got them in time out. It's almost like a kid getting in trouble. Go stick your nose in the corner. You're in time out. You won't listen. You won't listen. You won't see right. You won't hear. Your heart's hardened. Go stick your nose in the corner. I'll tell you when to get back out. You say, why did he do that? Watch this. Romans 11. Let's see. You're going to see some of the same terminology. Look at verse number 10. Let their eyes be darkened. Well, that's the same thing Paul said. That they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, the Jews, through their fall, salvation is come unto the... Why? To provoke them to jealousy. You know why he's trying to make them jealous. He's trying to make them Jews jealous. He says, y'all go stand in the corner. Y'all know how when you got two kids in the house, you make one of them, one of them's in trouble. You go make him stand in the corner, and you're over there patting on the other one. The one standing in the corner is going, I'm missing out on something. You should have listened. You see that? You see what's going on? Now, hang on. I ain't going to show you that yet. I ain't showing you that yet. You would strip a gear right there. Now, here's what I want to show you. I want to show you this. There's just so much in Daniel 9. All right, do you see this? Jews, God the Father, the Jews. Well, then God the Son shows up and he gets a bride. This is very important. God the Father, Jews, he's working with them. God the Son shows up and gets a bride, a Gentile bride, right? After the church is gone, God the Father starts working with the Jew again during the tribulation in the kingdom. You with me? So it's God the Father, the Jew, God the Son, the bride, the Gentile bride, and God the Father, the Jew. Y'all see that? Take your Bible and go to Genesis. You're fixing to love this. Genesis 22. I didn't put this on screen either because I have to show you this one. Genesis 22. Now, do I need to explain what Genesis 22 is? Genesis 22, God says, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, upon the mountain offering. You know what that is? Genesis 22. What does that sound like? Genesis 22. The cross, right? Genesis 22, the cross. Go take thy son. Abraham is like God the Father. Isaac is like God the Son. Stay with me right here. Watch this. Look at chapter 23. Next chapter. 22 is the cross. 23. Verse 1. Y'all ready? And Sarah. Sarah was Abraham's wife. Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Verse 2. And Sarah died. Genesis 22. The cross. Genesis 23. Abraham's wife dies. The Jews died in 23. Passed off the scene. Are you with me? What happens in 24? Go get my son Isaac a bride. Isaac gets a bride. Y'all see that? In 24. Does everybody see that? Jesus died. 22 is the cross. Jews rejected Abraham, God the Father, loses his bride Sarah. She dies, Jew. 24, Isaac gets a bride. You won't believe in a million years what happens in 25. Verse 1. Are y'all ready? Please tell me you're ready. Then again, verse 1, Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah. Abraham marries another Jewish bride. Y'all see that? In 25. Does that make sense? 22 cross. That means Israel rejected. That's why Jesus died. So Abraham loses Sarah, his wife, in 23. 24, Isaac, Jesus Christ, gets a bride. And then 25, Abraham marries another. The Jews come back on the scene. Y'all see that? Hallelujah. Wow. There's a lot in that Bible. A lot in that Bible. Now, let's go back to Daniel and let's finish up real quick. Daniel. Now, if you didn't see that, I hope you'll go after it again, back it up, go home, watch it again, because I'm telling you, that right there is an eye-opener. How God had all that planned out. Daniel. Father, forgive me, I know not where I'm at. Daniel 9. Now, all right, verse 25. Let's go run through this real quick. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. Now, here, let me show you something interesting. If you ever run up on this verse, remember I told you? 7 weeks it took them to rebuild the walls and the temple and all of that. 49 years. You say, are there any verses that will prove what you just said? All right. In John 2, do y'all remember this? The disciples said, give us a sign. Jesus answered, John 2, 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now, you're saying, up, there's a mistake in the Bible. Over here is 49, and over there in John 2, the disciples said it took 46 years to build the temple. Now, you know why God put stuff like this in the Bible? Number one, to see who's a Bible believer and a Bible corrector. Either that's wrong, or both of them are right. You say, how can they both be right? Notice, in Daniel 9, 49 years to build the walls of the city and the temple. John 2, it took them 46 years just to build the temple. Y'all see that? Does that clear you up? Is everybody settled down? You're not going to the bookstore tomorrow and get another Bible, right? Both of them are right. Daniel says 49 years, build the walls of the city, Jerusalem, and the temple. Them disciples said it took 46 years just to build the temple. So how long did it take to build the walls? Well, you can figure that out, you say. God puts stuff like that in the Bible to see, who's a Bible believer and who's a Bible corrector. Now, let's go back to Daniel. And look at verse 26 of 9. And here's where a lot of people get off track, and we're going to try to go over it real quick. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah. Messiah is capitalized, right? Up in verse 25, Messiah is capitalized, right? And Prince is capitalized, right? That's talking about the Lord, right? Okay. Verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. There he is, he's cut off. Not for himself, for us. Now, do y'all see that little colon right there? Okay, now watch this. We're fixing to change gears. And the people of the prince, is that prince capitalized? That prince is small p, right? I bet you that dude might be different than the capital P one. Would y'all agree with that? You say, how do I know? Because I know some men that makes that the same one, and he ain't the same one. The devil always duplicates God, but he's a small p. You say, is he a prince? Why, sure. What is it, Ephesians 6? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in high places. That's the devil. All right. And the people of the prince, small p, that shall come, shall destroy the city. But I don't think that's going to be the Lord, right? And the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of war, desolations are determined. Y'all see that flood? All right, watch this. I got this one for you. Now, let me see right here if I can find it. Revelation 12. Here it is. Revelation 12, verse 15. And the serpent, good guy or bad guy, cast out of his mouth water as a what? After the woman, Jews. The woman that gave birth, Jews, to the man-child. And that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth opened, or helped the woman, Jews. And the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon, good guy or bad guy, cast out of his mouth. Y'all see how that matches this flood over here? This prince, this small p prince over here? All right, do y'all see that word over there? In Daniel 9:26, desolations. Y'all see that word? Let me see right here if we can help over here in Revelation. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Now, I'm not going to go into detail who's wore that lately. But anyway, not important. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Y'all see abominations abominations. Well, you'll see that in verse 27 over in Daniel 9. Abominations. Abominations. Look here in Matthew 24. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. We just read about it. Spoken by who? That's who we're reading of. Spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Now it goes on and says a lot of other stuff there in Matthew 24. The context of Matthew 24 is tribulation. Watch this. That small pea prince is going to show up. The first part, he's going to make a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. They're going to fall in love with it. And in the midst of that week, we're fixing to read it in Daniel 9. In the midst of that week, he's going to break that peace treaty. He's going to stand in the holy place. The abomination of desolation. When you see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. When that Antichrist comes and stands in that holy place on that temple mount that they're going to rebuild, Jews, y'all better flee to the mountains. Because the first half was peace. When you see that, the abomination of desolation, you better flee. If you're on the housetop working, putting a new roof on, don't even come pack a bag. Jump off the roof and head to the mountains. Because this fishing get bad. That's what he said. Go to back to Daniel 9. And look what he says. Look at verse number 27. And he, who's the he? The Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. How long's that? 7 years. Y'all with me? 1 week is how long? 7 years. How long is tribulation? 7 years. Okay. He's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, well, half of seven is what? 3.5. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sanctuary and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. We've already looked at every one of those words. Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Y'all see that? He's going to make confirm a covenant. And in the midst of the week, man, it's going to be bad after that. Now, what I wanted to show you, 70 weeks, you got 483 before the cross and 7. 483 and 7 is what? 490. Determined upon who? So if y'all ever have y'all ever wondered, is the church going through? Why would we? Why would we? That ain't determined upon me. I'm leaving out right here. You see. Before that 1 week, that last week starts. Now, let me just clear up just a couple of things. Because here's what some have asked. And sometimes when I teach this, I forget. I say, well, that week is for the Jews. And it is. But now, if you are a Gentile and you are not saved, you're going to go off into this week that was for the Jews, but you're going to be a part of it if you're lost. You understand? You're just going to be getting it because you're there and didn't accept Christ and get out of here and have a good exit strategy from Sunday morning. You understand? So that's why it's good to have a good exit strategy, because there will be Gentiles in this part. Sure. Just like there are Jews that are saved that is a part of the church. In here, Jew, Gentile, bond or free, makes no difference. You see. there are saved Jews that are a member of the same church as we are. Now, let me explain it this way and give an illustration. All of us live in America, right? Okay? We're all saved, right? I hope we're all saved. But now, is America as a whole saved? No. See, there's a difference in individual and national. There are some saved Jews, but the nation of Israel as a whole, you see that? Matter of fact, there was some saved Jews, right? There are some that believed he was the Messiah. Matter of fact, Nicodemus come to him by night. There were a bunch of believing Jews right there that didn't crucify, but the nation as a whole did. You see that? So, let me clear that up, because a lot of times they say, well, there won't be any Gentiles over here because you're saying it's all for the Jews. It is all for the Jews, but there's some going to be Gentile, unbelieving Gentiles engulfed with that. Okay? Anyway, I hope that makes it a little better as far as understanding all of that. And especially how Daniel saw it and how we got inserted in. There's a verse, one more verse, and I'll give you this one. I didn't remember. I'll show you this. There were seven things that were going to be brought to pass, fulfilled after these 490 years. To finish the transgression, to make an end to sins. I think sins are still going on right now, right? So I know this thing ain't over. It's still got a week left. To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. There's everlasting righteousness right there. It ain't here yet, but it's coming. After that 70th year, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision, seal up the prophecy, to anoint the most holy, that's when it's going to happen. Now, I think I got this on the screen there for you. This is the last verse, Romans 11, verse 25 through 27. Paul says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." Mystery. Why? Because Daniel didn't know about it. It was a mystery to Old Testament people. "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Not all of them, some of them could see. But blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Watch. "And so all Israel shall be's future, right? Shall be what? Saved. When? It is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins." You see? My sins, your sins, have already been taken away right here at the cross. But the nation of Israel as a whole shall be, when the end of this week is finished, to finish the transgression, remember our whatever, to finish the transgression, to make an end to sins, Israel shall be saved. And I'll take away their sin right there. Does that make sense? Israel as a whole. Now you say, Israel as a whole is going to be... The Old Testament example to that is, I've told you this before, Joseph and his brethren. Remember? Joseph, second in command, Pharaoh. His brothers come in because there's a famine in the land. There's a famine. His brothers come before Joseph. Joseph, a picture, type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't know who he is. Matter of fact, his brothers are the one that threw him in the pit, threw him into prison. And when the famine shows up, they have to go back before Joseph, second in command of the Pharaoh, God the Father, God the Son. And they said, hey, we need some help. We about to starve. And he says, go get my other brethren. Go get my other Jewish brethren. Bring them in here. He makes everybody leave the room except his Jewish brother. And he reveals to them that he's their brother. He's a Jew just like they are. And they fall down and worship him. When Jesus comes, the Bible says, they shall look upon him whom they've pierced, and they shall be saved. Their sins will be forgiven. And now, you know what Joseph did? Joseph told his brethren, go get daddy, mama, and the rest up. Bring the whole crew. Bring them on. We fix to live happily ever after. Stay in your seat, don't get excited about that. Now, I'm fixing to throw something else in there. Do y'all realize when Joseph, picture and type of Lord Jesus Christ, went to say, go get daddy, bring them all, Joseph was married to a Gentile girl named Zephaniah. I can't say her name, but she was a Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. Joseph had a Gentile bride at his right hand. Where's the church going to be when the Lord? We're going to be his right hand. I got to quit. There's a bunch in there.